heard the Lord telling us that this is a season of reset. This is a season of reset, a time for cracks in the foundation to be exposed and repaired. So why is there a need for reset? Things aren't completely falling apart. The wheels aren't falling off of the cart, if you will. Why a reset? Why would God give us this word? It can be simple. Sometimes things just need to be put back in order, because sometimes things get out of alignment. I think of example of our body, right? Things can get out of alignment. It was back in 2013, I'm thinking, right around 2013, where something happened to my back. And I was out of alignment completely. I would get out of bed in the morning. Every single morning, I'd literally roll out of bed, put my feet on the ground, attempt to stand up, usually fall down and start crying. I mean, seriously, it hurt that badly. It was that rough. On Sunday mornings, I'd come into church and I had to use a stool because I could only stand about 10 minutes at a time because my back was out of alignment. I needed a reset. I needed a reset. How do things get out of alignment? Sometimes it happens when we are lifting something heavy. And I'm not just talking physical. Now, you know where we're going with this, right? We're talking spiritual alignment, relational alignment, aligning our thoughts, our actions, aligning our lives. Sometimes things get out of alignment because we tried to lift something that's just too heavy, and something gets tweaked. Has that ever happened to anybody here in the room? Yeah, most guys are raising their hands anyway, and the moms too, right? The kids get a certain age. It's like, you better learn how to walk, kid. You're getting too big. Anyway, sometimes things go out of alignment because we move too quickly. Have you ever done that? Somebody says something over here, and you throw your head over to see what's going on and to pay attention, and oh, man, it's just like you pinched something, and something went out of alignment, and there's pain involved. Other times, things go out of alignment because we get hit by something. Something external just plows into us. I think of the Cianci's who were on their motorcycle, Jim and Morgan. And a Honda comes up behind them as they're stopped at a stoplight and plows into them. Their bodies, their lives were out of alignment for a long, long time. It's a miracle by God's grace only that they survived such a hit. And sometimes we get hit by things because life is good at coming at us hard and hitting us hard. How many of you can agree with that? It does. It just happens. And we can get out of alignment. We need a reset. So I was thinking about reset and alignment. And all of a sudden, the concept of reboot came to my mind because I'm an XIT guy. I say XIT guy, information technology guy, because I don't want anybody calling me and asking you to, you know, have me fix your computer problems, all right? Because I did that a long time ago. But I have two college degrees in information technologies. And I was a geek. I was a programming nerd at one point. Very average at it. And so I decided I better leave that profession. But as a former IT expert, loosely used here, I can tell you that the best way to often fix a technology problem is to reboot. You know, you can try to tweak every little thing you can, but often what's needed is that computer, that piece of technology just needs to be rebooted, restarted, reset. What happens when we reboot a computer? Often all this extra old memory that's been hanging around gets wiped out finally. Because it hasn't been really deleted, hasn't been really pushed aside until you do that hard reboot. That's when things really get refreshed, when the reboot happens. Something else about the reboot, though. It doesn't just help clear out the old stuff and bring some refreshing. We also often reboot our computers or our smartphones, or really any kind of technology whenever we want to have an upgrade, right? If it's time for an upgrade, what's the final thing you do before that upgrade is installed? You got to reboot. You got to restart for that to happen. See where we're going? See where God's going with restart and reset? See what he's doing about getting us into alignment and dealing with cracks and fixing those cracks? I believe there's an upgrade coming. I'm already sensing, I'm already seeing it in so many areas, in and throughout the church and in people's lives. There's a reset that's happening, and there's an upgrade that's coming as we cooperate with God pushing that reset button in our lives, as long as we don't fight it and say no to the upgrade. Because here's the deal. Here's what I will often do. When it's time to do an upgrade, all of a sudden fear grips me. Because again, I'm an IT guy, right? And so I've seen every bad thing that can happen. Have you ever seen a screen like this when you're trying to upgrade, trying to do a reboot? And you get something like this. Windows Boot Manager. Windows failed to start. A recent hardware software change at night might be the cause. To fix this problem, go through all this crazy stuff. That's why I don't use Windows computers anymore, by the way. I turned into a Mac guy in 2008. And, you know, peace. As much as you can, as much as it's possible, you be at peace with all computers. And so I made the change back in 2008. And I do get commission for saying that in a sermon from Apple. But I get worried whenever it's time to reboot. Because when you reboot, what happens? The final thing that happens is the screen goes dark, right? Gone. Everything turns off. And then you're wondering, is it going to come back up again? Because we've had those situations where it doesn't come back up. And then when it comes back up, is it going to come back up and actually work? Or am I going to be in worse shape than I was before I did the reboot, the restart, to apply the upgrade? And so sometimes I get fearful about doing upgrades and reboots on devices. And I'll sit there for months, sometimes even up to a year before I'll do it. Right now on my computer, it's been telling me to do a restart, to apply some upgrades. I've been saying later, tomorrow, later, tomorrow, later, tomorrow, for about 4 months. Some of it's because I never have time for it to actually do it because I got to get something done and put it out, right? But then finally, I do the reboot, the restart, the upgrade, and I realize I've been missing all of these new features all this time that I was dragging my feet and not cooperating with the reset, the restart, and the reboot. And I want to kick myself for that. But reset, restart, and reboot brings an upgrade, but it can often be scary. And I believe the Lord wants to teach us something as we launch into this new series. That if he's the one who has prescribed the reset in our lives, if he's the one that we're allowing to do the reset, and we're walking through his reset in our lives, in our relationships, in our church, in our community and nation, then we don't have to fear. And we can let the restart happen right now, right now, right now. When God applies the reset and installs the upgrade, not only do we come back to life, but we come back to life better than ever. Upgraded with new features, ready to take things to a whole nother level. So this leads us into our next series. Title of the series is Reset. See it right there, right? Reset. And this is going to be a walk through the prophetic message of Joel, the book of Joel. Not our photographer this morning, Joel Herber. But we're going to be looking at the book, the prophetic book of Joel. And today's sermon looks at the reason for reset. That's the first message. The first message we're going to get from Joel is we're going to start seeing why is it that we need, that people need, that nations need, a reset. So, Joel chapter 1, verse 1. Turn with me. Joel 1, 1. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, son of Pethuel. And with that, we're going to close. That was very insightful. But it is, because we're reminded this is the word of the Lord. Not somebody's opinion. and not even just a historian who's writing something. But this is a prophetic word of the Lord that is given to us for all time. And as we receive it, it will change us. Not much is known about the prophet Joel. Yet God used him to speak to his creation and to speak of his plans for his people, really for all creation. And Joel is considered a minor prophet, but I would argue as we go through this that the message that Joel has for us is not a minor message, but a major message, one that we need to pay quite a bit of attention to. It's a heavy message, it's an important message, and it's for us today. Some believe that Joel delivered this prophetic message sometime between 835 and 800 BC. I still use BC and AD. Anyway, others like myself believe that the message likely came just a few decades before the Babylonian takeover, really scourge, and it was brutal when they came in and they took over Judah and Jerusalem in 586 BC. But we'll just see what we find here in the book. But why did God give us this book? Why are we going to go through this right now? I'll tell you what, I spent a lot of time praying and saying, God, what do you have for us next at Evident Life Church? What is the message you have for this church congregation? And that's how I do it. I get in the prayer room and I just pray and I seek the Lord. What do you have? And so I felt him leading me to the Old Testament, to something prophetic. So I was going through Isaiah. Studied that, prayed through that. Then I went through Ezekiel. Studied that, prayed through that. And it just wasn't like clicking. It wasn't like, and then God took me to Joel. He said, this is it. And I'm like, well, why'd you have me go through all those long books? Man, that was a lot of work to get to Joel. This only got three chapters. Why don't you take me here first? Anyway, I didn't say that. I thought it though. So I might as well have said it, right? Anyway, so why this book? As we look through this book, we're going to look at it from three perspectives. This is what God is calling us to do right now. To look at this prophetic word from three perspectives. Number one is a historical context. So what is Joel saying to the people of his time? Let's put that up on the screen. We're going to look at the historical context. The second thing we're going to look at in the book of Joel, the second perspective is the present day application. What is God saying to us today, right now? Those of us in this room living and breathing right now through this prophetic word of Joel. And the third perspective we're going to look at is the end times picture. Because we have to remember, this is a prophetic end times word from the Lord, affecting the people of that day, affecting us in this day, and affecting end times. So that's going to be a past, present, and future as we look at reset and go through this prophetic word from the Lord through the prophet Joel. So why reset? What is the reason for reset? Now we're going to look at what Joel is showing us here. Number one reason we're going to find in the book of Joel for reset is an unprecedented fade. It's point number one. Number one reason for reset, an unprecedented fade. There was an unprecedented fade in the time of Joel. We see an unprecedented fade in our time, and we'll see in the future an unprecedented fade in the end times. Continuing, Joel 1, verse 2. Hear this. In other words, remember, verse 1, this is a word from the Lord. Now the prophet Joel says, hear this, listen, stop, listen, this is important. He says, hear this, you elders. And then he says, listen, all who live in the land. Notice, this is a message not only for leaders, not only leaders in the nation and leaders in the church, but this is a message for all of us, for all the people of God. Listen, you elders, listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your forefathers? Has anything like this happened? This is off the charts. Has anything like this ever happened? Have you ever seen this? Have you ever heard of anything this significant ever happening before? So tell it to your children. And let your children tell it to their children and their children to the next generation. So let's step back and look at this here for a little bit. Sometimes it's difficult to see our need for reset because we get out of alignment slowly, because we've slowly drifted away from God's will. Sometimes we don't understand our need for reset because we've just gradually and slowly fallen back into our old practices. We've slowly let our old desires, our own strength, ourselves once again take over from God's plans and purposes in our lives. Had me thinking about that old Casting Crowns song called Slow Fade. Some of you may remember it. I'm not going to sing it. I'm just going to share some of the chorus here. It says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray and thoughts invade and choices are made. A price will be paid when you give yourself away. People never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. A slow fade. And that's true. That's often how we get out of alignment. That's often how we drift away from God's plans and purposes. It's slow, little by little, slowly by slowly. However, other times, the fade is fast and furious. How many of you know that can happen too? Fast and furious. And the need for reset becomes so obvious. Even you yourself know that you need to push the reset button. Sometimes things have gotten so out of order, so disjointed, so far from God's righteous standards that the results, the effects are enormous in our faces. This is what was going on in the time of Joel when he was sharing this prophetic word. The events of that time paint a picture of people who allowed their drift to go from a slow fade to a fast and furious free fall. It was unprecedented. Again, Joel 1:2, has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of our forefathers? This is off the charts, people. This is crazy. Can you see it? Can you see it? So I want to kind of go into the current time, and I want to, you know, we looked at the three phases. We looked at this historic phase and the past, and then the present and the future. So in present day, do we see anything like this? Do we see any kind of unprecedented fade going on in our time, around us today? Is there anything like this happening? Anything that's crazy and so out of the norm, something like we've never seen before even going on in our nation today? And I want to point it out because, again, this is a word for today also. I believe we're seeing a lot of unprecedented fade going on right now. And I'm going to talk about it because it's real. And if the church doesn't talk about these things, then all we're getting is one side, right? We have an unprecedented fade in the place where we're allowing over four decades, 61 million babies to be aborted. That's unprecedented fade. Even in the time of Molech, the numbers didn't look like that. That's just in this nation. Not to mention other nations. That's unprecedented. That's off the charts. How about the redefinition of marriage and gender reassignment? It's unprecedented. Let me tell you something. Right now, in our time right now, is the first time when a society has determined and voted as a society to change the definition of marriage, that which God established in the beginning. Oh yeah, you had different issues going on and different practices throughout history, but this is an unprecedented fade from God's original design. And then we go into the whole topic of gender reassignment. Never have we seen this in all of history, to where it even gets to the point of people physically taking action. It's an unprecedented fade. And we have to realize that. We're in the middle of it. We've had this slow drift, but this slow drift has taken us to a fast and furious, unprecedented place, and we're living in the middle of it right now in our world. It's no joke. This is real. On our watch, on our time. Have we ever seen anything like this in our time or in the time of our forefathers? The answer to those is no, we haven't. I argue that there's a desperate need for reset. That this word from the prophet Joel is a word for our nation today. But how about us personally? How about in our own lives? Has God been highlighting something in your life that needs to be reset? Something in your life that's out of order, it's unprecedented. It's not a slow fade, it's a free fall. Or maybe it is just a slow fade, but you hear the Holy Spirit saying, look out, here's what's really going on right now in your life. Or maybe it's something that needs reset because something externally has hit you and got you, or your marriage, or your family, your thoughts, whatever it might be, out of alignment. Maybe there's some kind of increased suffering that's going on, or struggle, or turmoil, or pain, or hardship that you're enduring. It was going on back here in the time of Joel. They were going through a lot of hardship. We're about to read about that. And that was an indicator of the need for reset. Does your world feel like it's spinning out of control, going too fast? Maybe God is trying to get your attention and to let you know it's time for some reset to happen in your life, in your heart, in your thinking, your mind, in your relationship. A time of reset to happen. The situation had become unprecedented in the prophet Joel's time. It's becoming unprecedented. I would say it is unprecedented in our time right now. And Joel is prophesying that things will become unprecedented in the end times. As we approach the return of Jesus, the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's what Joel calls it in chapter 2. I like to think of the great and dreadful day. We're going to get to that when we get to chapter 2. It's exciting stuff. This whole prophetic word is exciting. It's apocalyptic. It looks crazy. It looks, just devastation all over the place. As you read through the book of Joel this week, you're going to be like, the pastor's really going to be preaching that and talking about that? Do I want to come hear that every single week? You do. You want to hear what God is saying to the church today. And we need to process this together. And I'm here to tell you that as we do, we won't feel beat down. We will feel built up by God because we're going to walk through this reset with Him for His glory, and there is an upgrade on the other side. So we're going to stick with it, and I'm telling you, every week there is good news in the prophetic word of Joel. I love it. So what do? It's so important that we are told to tell it to our children and to their children, to the next generation. We got to share this. In our culture, we're not so good at this. You know, it seems like every generation comes along. My generation was guilty of it when we, you know, were the young whippersnappers who had it all together. Well, you know, once we hit 18, 19, 20, you know, we thought we ruled the world. And our parents, there was a good try, mom and dad. But you know what? You missed the mark a little bit, and we got it figured out because we're 18 and 19 years old. And so we got it all figured out. And often what we do as a generation is we discount the last generation, or the generation before that. We discount history because we're just thinking we got the future all figured out. A guy named Edmund Burke made this statement. He said, those who don't know history are destined to repeat it. And that's so true. So true. I want to say this. Often history is, I'll just say this is how it was in my day. I was a high school coach, so I can take this and I can say this. And if you're a history teacher out here, you're not who I'm talking about right now, okay? I'm just saying that right now. But when I went to high school, the history teachers were all of the coaches who just needed to have a teaching job. And I'm so disappointed in that because I did not appreciate history in high school because of that. Because we were just going through the motions and memorizing facts and not diving in and really processing how amazing history really is. I'm a lover of history now. It's captivating. History is so important. If you're a homeschool mom, make history a big, big subject. It'll help your kids quite a bit. Because we're good at just discounting history. But God doesn't want us to discount history. And so he gives us history right here. He shows us how things go down. When we do it our way, when we do it his way. He shows us the formula for success and the formula for destruction right here in his word. And so I believe that's one of the gifts God has for us in this prophetic word from Joel. It's a wake-up call. It's an encouragement. It's his way of how to process what's really going on in our lives and in the world today. So let's pay attention and let's tell it to our kids. I read the statistic this week. In our nation, only 4% of millennials are active Christians. And I think active Christians, I think, can there be anything but an active Christian? I think you're either a follower of Jesus, actually following him, you know, or you're not. But that's just a side note. So only 4% of millennials, and I thank God for the millennials that we have in this church that are not just active Christians, but zealous in love with the Lord and have laid down their lives in so many ways and their gifts for God. You look throughout this church, you see millennials all over the place impacting the body of Christ in our community. So it doesn't have to be this 4% way, but this is the way it is when we don't teach our children and pass it down. It wasn't passed down in our nation. Following Jesus with zeal, with love, being godly examples. Getting our kids filled with the Word of God rather than filled with the stuff of this world wasn't a priority. And so we have 4% of an entire generation that knows Jesus and is running hard after him. It should be 50, 60%. But we got to pass it down for real. And it's never too late to pass it down. You a grandma or grandpa? You got grandkids. Pass it down. Show them what it looks like to go after Jesus, to be in love with him. Pray prayers of faith and power. Speak words of life. Speak the promises of God over your grandkids and your children. In Israel, they decided to pass it down. I was going to show a video, but we just don't have time for that today. That's okay. But they do pass it down in Israel now. They had issues in the past, but they do now. Why reset? We're going to get to point number two. What's the other reason? There's only 2 points, so you don't have to sweat it. It's all going to be good. You're going to get to your Mother's Day lunch. Number one reason was an unprecedented fade. The second reason for reset that we find in the book of Joel is an uncommon lack. Joel 1:4, what the locust swarm, here we go, apocalyptic. Boom! What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. It's a picture of uncommon devastation and lack. Complete devastation. Nothing left. It's all taken away. And this uncommon lack is also a picture of uncommon cracks in the foundation of the people of God. Cracks and uncommon cracks. Now, there can be common cracks that we deal with in our lives. In Arizona, we have this caliche clay. We build our homes on it. We put a slab on it. And we get these things called, what kind of cracks are they? Settlement cracks. Yeah, they're just these settling cracks. And they're normal. They're not harmful. But a settling crack, if it grows, it can then begin to affect the integrity of the structure. The integrity of the structure. And what was going on in the time of Joel was uncommon lack, uncommon cracks in their foundation. And that's something that we need to be aware of and we need to watch, because when there is uncommon cracks or uncommon lack and devastation, when we see that going on in our lives, we need to look like the people of God and like Joel is encouraging. We need to look, is there a reset that needs to happen? Is there a reset that God is going to show me right now? because we can't keep going the way we're going, because there's another swarm of locusts coming unless we reset. There's the cracks are getting wider if there's not a reset. The prophet Joel uses locust invasion as his example because that's what was actually going on at that time. But it's also a prophetic picture for us today of what will happen to a nation or a family or a person who continues in their sin, who continues to do things their own way. And Joel uses these pictures that we're going to be reading also as a foreshadowing of what is coming in the end times, the end times destruction that's going to be happening. You read about the locust in Joel, you go to the book of Revelation and you start reading about the judgments. You start reading about the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven bowl judgments. And Joel is prophesying about those things. And in Revelation, through the Apostle John, we have those prophetic words about these things that happen. Why? For reset. And if you all have ever heard me preach through Revelation, it's also a book of reset, of God resetting everything and making all things new. Revelation 21. It's a book of reset. God's in the business of resetting. If you are born again in Christ Jesus, you've been reset. He's reset you. He's put you back into alignment. And every day is a day of reset. Every day is a day of choosing the reset. Every day is a day of choosing alignment in and with Christ Jesus. So judgments, locusts. We're going to read about other judgments that are coming against the people of God. Why? Because of sin. Because of going their own direction. That's really sin. It's missing the mark. And what's the mark? Jesus. His ways. Where he's going. That's the mark. When we turn away from that mark in that direction, it's sin. These locusts have eaten away all that sustained life. Sin eats away at us, church. It does. Sometimes slowly, sometimes very rapidly. But it's devastating, and it causes lack, and it's no joke. But God has given us this prophetic word because he loves us. He's calling us to cooperate with his reset right now. The Lord wants to protect us. The Lord wants to position us for an upgrade. How many of you want that? All right, then let's cooperate, right? He's positioning us for an upgrade. It's happening right now. This is a season of reset. So let me say it again. If it's a season of reset, it's a season of upgrade. It's one and the same. A reset is an upgrade.